I'm putting on my fake military uniform, you know, the one that makes you look like a dictator of a powerful Western nation. You know, the uniform, you know, one day the president will wear. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know that day is coming. This is Ask an Atheist with me, Generalissimo Sam Mulvey, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. It is December, which means it is that evil list of evils, that destroyer of humanity, the worst thing that we have ever experienced, worse than the 1918 flu, worse than that which destroyed the dinosaurs, worse than Christmas. It's the freaking holiday season.
Well, we survived Thanksgiving, so, I mean, that war was somewhat tragic, but now we have to roll into the next war.
Do we plan on announcing the war plans on air?
I usually wait for the traditional complaining about the Starbucks cups.
That was a month ago.
The official declaration of war, and that was yesterday. I saw it yesterday. So they were complaining about last year's cups because people can't read the dates on news stories. but what are you going to do, right? I actually have to admit, and I know there are people within the sound of my voice who are going to get super mad at me for this, but Thanksgiving is my holiday. It really is. I mean, if you think about it, of the holiday season holidays, it's the one that I consume the least amount of calories for.
What?
How do you manage that?
In aggregate, how much Christmas crap is shoved down your throat in December?
Good point.
I mean, it's just one day of gluttony. Yep. New Year's destroys my liver because I lack self-control.
Halloween is like a candy bar every day.
Yeah, Halloween, you know, it's a LARP with too many sexy costumes. I mean, it's just...
There's no such thing.
I was going to say.
Oh, come on. I mean, they've got sexy suicide bomber at this point. Like, what else is left? Like, I literally posted something about this on Facebook, and somebody was like, no, I haven't seen sexy Jabba the Hutt yet. Next post. Somebody found it.
It exists.
It exists. There's an internet rule about that, I think. But, I mean, and the mythos behind Thanksgiving was always, it kind of had like a childish, you know, highlights for kids kind of quality behind it, where it just always seemed like it wasn't wearing particularly well before our modern post-jingoist historical awareness set in. Like, it always seemed like a kiddie holiday. And so, like all tried and true methods, I have taken this holiday, stripped it of its meaning, and applied my own. That's what you do with holidays when you don't like what the stories are about. You just sort of replace it. And so I generally don't call it Thanksgiving. You know, Turkey Day is good. Frying a turkey day for me, because that's...
You also fry?
I do, yeah. I didn't this year because the holidays kind of snuck up on me, given that my summer ended in November.
Right.
But so I ended up going to Thanksgiving with Christy, who's been on the show a couple times this year. And that was... I got to hang out with friends, and that's what it's about, a fine meal and fine friends and people you ostensibly care about if you're with your family, or people you actually care about if you're with your friends. The low key component of it is something that I like. So where there's just it's just, I don't know, Christmas fills me with dread because it's a foot stomping on my face attached to an MP3 player playing the Chipmunks Christmas album forever.
I
can't stand the music ever since I started working in retail during Christmas. The same song, like the same 15 songs played on loop for like an hour.
Yeah, exactly,
every hour.
And to say anything about it, you're automatically a criminal.
Yeah, to complain about it makes you the bad guy. And so I just, like, everybody's like, there's a Fox News goes, there's a war on Christmas, and I'll steer into that one. That's fine.
So here's my suggestion for future Christmases. What we should do is make Christmas goers actually wear Bluetooth headphones at all times. So kind of like the silent raves.
Oh, nice.
So that way, like, they can listen to Christmas music at all times and not bother us at all. That is my dream. I am running for president 2024. And that is my platform. Come at me, Kanye.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Yeah, let's steer into that, I guess. Let's start with an email. Erythromancer, which is from Twitter, which continues to be one of my favorite Twitter names. Kanye running for president? I'm worried because your country has far too many who'd vote for him.
That is absolutely true.
Definitely correct.
Absolutely true. And 2000, and I'll go into how I talked about it when I was on the air last. 2015 Sam would have been all about it. You know, bring the chaos. Come on, let's do it.
Yeah.
Because I thought he'd, you know, someone like him, yeah, okay, he's nuts, but he's not going to launch the nukes. But now I know.
No, he'll launch the nukes. Somebody will diss his Yeezys and everybody will be nuked.
I'm really not enjoying the chaos as much as I thought I would.
No, not at all. There's craziness. I would expect it to be wacky and zany and like a comedy or something like that, but this would end up being, his Jesus album will only sell like 8 million copies, and that's not enough for him, so he'll nuke, I don't know, Italy.
Everybody,
for reasons.
Everyone be silent as God speaks through him.
It was amazing. Just so you, did you bring up Kanye? Who brought it? Was it?
I brought up Kanye.
Yeah, and my brain just like I just had a kernel oops in my head. Like I don't even know how to talk about this guy. And the scary thing is, like, I don't think we're going to learn from this presidency. Like everybody, you know, people are still think that, well, we need to run the government like we need to run a business. I hear that from everybody. They're two different organizational animals. They don't work the same way.
I've been hearing that since I was a teenager, and even then I was like,
it was supremely dumb.
Apples, oranges, blah.
You know, I'm all for economic efficacy, you know, doing the best with the dollar, you know, but the principles aren't the same. There's a reason why a business degree is a business degree and a political science degree is a political science degree. That's like, you know, we need to run this hospital like we're plumbers.
Yeah, and businesses are now, the strategy is to cut taxes. That's their strategy, is to cut taxes. You can't run a government by cutting taxes.
Well, I don't know. If you ask me, I think the bigger small argument is a lot of window dressing. I don't care the size of a government, just as long as it's efficacious.
Right. Also, on the flip side of that, though, you don't want it to be too efficient, because then it will
do what it says it does is what I want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What?
You just, the idea of running a hospital like plumbers just sent me off on a tangent.
I mean, plumbers make pretty good money, so.
Yeah, but you could definitely use the idea of plumbing to streamline organizational flow.
Well, you know, every time something stops, you just hit it with a snake. I mean, I'm getting up there. I'm going to have to start dealing with the medical version of that fairly soon. Speaking of which, the latest unfounded wellness practice trending in social media is sunning of the perineum, where practitioners claim wildly dubious benefits stemming from exposing the area between the genitals and anus to direct sunlight for varying periods of time. An individual who goes by Ra of Earth claims that the perineum is an electric node that can receive energy from the sun, and that the sunning practice can help keep the area healthy and free of germs. An Instagrammer going by Metaphysical Megan asserted that sunning has regulated her hormones and sleep patterns, though she admitted replacing her morning cup of coffee with an intimate LSD? Dose of sunlight. Yeah, I was like, is that a euphemism for something, Becky? the recommendation seems to have been unearthed from a 1986 book called The Tao of Sexology by Stephen Chang. Noted OBGYN and medical journalist Dr. Jen Gunter stated in response to the craze that the anus and the perineum have no special sunlight concentrating abilities, and warned that one can develop painful sunburns and melanoma on the vulva.
This is great because this came to my attention because this came on my Twitter feed. So like you got a picture of basically somebody doing legs over their head outside.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy.
Like, how do you do this without getting arrested is my first, like, do you have special pants?
We just go to,
do you put on special pants?
You just, I mean, yeah, if you're posting on Twitter, you're letting
special
them
special sun pants.
Yeah, it's sort of like chaps.
Fishnets. There you go. You're not naked.
Yeah, but it's just like with a very strategically engineered sunning
but
portal.
Or, your portal is open.
I'm thinking of like Swordfish, where Holly Berry was using a like kind of like a tanning mirror.
Okay.
So you can kind of like you redirect the tanning mirror that way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now I'm thinking about this. How about like a special, like a fiber optic thing? Like where you wear a hat and then it's got fiber optic cables.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
One of those domes that sit in the roof and you that just have a fiber optic cable. That way you could actually do it inside. Yeah.
Oh. So where does this... So are you running fiber here? Like, are you doing fiber channel? What's... Nah, that's for my butt. Yeah, that's my special butt cable.
Just don't use it for more than 30 seconds or you're going to get serious sunburns.
I like the I like the way the doctor put it, where the anus and perineum have no special sunlight concentrating abilities. Imagine if like everybody's walking around with a pants laser. Like it's the secret metaphysical weapon that we've been given, that God has given to us, and then we just find out about it, and then suddenly
pew pew.
Yeah, I gotta sort of aim up like a dog and go, don't steal my stuff! Pew, pew, pew!
I've been storing this sunlight for ages!
Hold on while I bend over.
There's gotta be... That's gotta be somewhere on Pornhub. It's gotta be, doesn't it? I mean...
Yeah, no, it's definitely gonna be there in a
minute. If you can think of it, there's something of
it. Is it Rule 34?
Something like that.
Yeah. That is the rule.
I want to say this one is comparatively harmless...
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like you might like pull a muscle trying to get the right area. Apparently this is a thing women do. I'd have to have like, you know, equipment to keep certain things out of the way to make sure I'm hitting the perineum directly. you know, I think fiber optics are the solution here. This is Ask an Atheist, 844 Skeptic, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to the break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this week's problem. This is Ask an Atheist, 844 Skeptic, 844-753-7842. Why are we doing these breaks? We should just keep going.
Not even a break at this point.
Yeah,
it's a good place. Like, you know, where if you're going to actually ever inject advertisements, you got a place there. But
yeah,
but it's kind of throws us off now. It's like,
yeah,
headphones off. Oh,
oh, no. Right. Yeah. We have to keep going. Well, so this week, a Polish chef wielding a narwhal tusk and a convicted murderer are being credited for subduing an alleged terrorist in London who killed two people before police arrived. A chef known by the first name Lucas is described by witnesses as having grabbed a 1.5 meter long whale tooth from the wall of Fishmonger's Hall to use and chase after the attacker, who had knives taped to his hands and was wearing a dummy suicide bomb vest. Dramatic video captured Lucas corralling the attacker on London Bridge along with another man who wielded a fire extinguisher and a third who pulled the man to the ground. The perpetrator was shot dead by police. Scotland Yard is now investigating how the man was able to launch this attack despite wearing an electronic monitoring anklet and being on monitored release after serving time for plotting to blow up the London Stock Exchange.
This story is awesome. It's so great.
Well, too, I mean, it would be better if nobody except the jerk died. You know what I mean? Two people died.
Yeah, two people died. So that's not cool. But the thing is you see something going on and you're a chef. So like your idea should be like, hey, I got chef knives.
Yeah.
So I'm armed. But no, that's not good enough. So, because I watched a YouTube video that said that spears wins over swords every time, the narwhal tusk is my weapon of choice.
Well, I mean, there's a logic there. You got range.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
1.5 meters.
Yeah. Jeez.
I mean, that was great fast thinking on his part. And then then you got the convicted murderer that we don't want to actually kind of heroize because... he's problematic.
Right.
Massively problematic.
Right.
But, like, he still had the ingenuity to pick up a fire extinguisher and use that as an assault weapon.
Helped a lot.
I have problems with that word.
I do. I have a lot of problem with words if I don't say them often.
You have a fire extinguisher, which shrouds the target, and then you have the plus one bonus to reach with the narwhal tusk.
Yeah. Jeez. Are you rolling a character for terrorism? Is that what you're doing?
This
here
needs to be a campaign.
I don't know. I want to. There, the picture is amazing. And it's literally just a guy going full, you know, Roman centurion on the guy with a.
Didn't have a shield.
Yeah.
So
yeah, didn't have a shield.
That's the only thing he was missing.
The narwhal tusk was a big thing because of Reddit. Reddit is in love with this guy now.
This is
perfect for that.
This is Reddit bait. Yeah, this is what Reddit is for.
So there was a video of this event every like three posts for the first day it came out. It was glorious.
I hate talking about this, but I gotta bring it up. Everybody's talking about the narwhal tusk, and then in some of the places I go, it's obviously because it's the UK, they go into like gun arguments.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, if there's a gun, you know, there'd be no problem. Well, in, you know, just this weekend in the US and in Mexico, like, you know, there's shootings where like 14 people die at the border, and it's just not news here. And because it's not terrorism, where only two people die here, and it's the narwhal tusk, and it's getting a lot of attention. It's when there aren't fire, like, I hate talking gun control, but this is like obvious, you know, the stakes are lower when you don't have a machine that's engineered to kill people.
Yeah. Instead of taking out dozens of people and not being able to be fought off at all, the guy managed to get one or two, which is unfortunate still.
Yeah. Really unfortunate.
But was fended off with a narwhal tusk and a fire extinguisher.
If he had a gun, the kill count would
have been higher. Much higher. So from an interesting picture to a less interesting picture, pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong have adopted the image of Donald Trump's head superimposed on the body of the iconic fictional boxer Rocky Balboa as they cheered Trump's signing of the legislation that affirms U.S. support for the protesters. It imposes sanctions on human rights violators in Hong Kong and blocks their entry into the U.S., at a rally coinciding with the American Thanksgiving holiday, crowds were seen draped in American flags and cheering the U.S. president. The image has been tweeted out by Donald Trump on Wednesday without explanation. When the Washington Post reported that it was unclear why the president had posted the so-called doctored photo, Trump criticized the newspaper for reporting without evidence that the photo had been doctored.
God, I mean, Rocky Balboa is a fictional character, people. It's not even a real picture. It's an actual artistic rendering of his body. I mean, it's definitely not real, even for a real boxer.
We've seen the guy golfing.
Golfing, not playing tennis,
standing in general.
Well, sort of standing.
Yeah, sort of leaning.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. A lot of people who don't like Trump are like, oh, well, you know, no, he's not. But I get it. It's like the U.S. is saying something about what's happening in Hong Kong. That's a big deal, and they want to show support for...
Yeah, it's kind of like positive reinforcement for something that Trump did that was actually reasonable.
Yeah.
Because Trump
was super surprised.
Signed in something in support of the Hong Kong protesters, which is unexpected, since he's expected to... he has to do this trade deal with China, or else like everything falls apart.
Right. I hope they stick with it, but I kind of wonder if the folks in Hong Kong know that his predilection for dictators and strongmen.
At this point, I don't think they even care about that. They're in their own fight right now.
Yeah.
And so what they care about is what little support they can get.
Right. And I think that's good. I don't really have a problem with it. The Trump. The Trump organization, saying no, that's not a doctored photo.
That's got to be trolling. I mean, that's trolling.
Trolling. It's just jerky behavior. Trolling. I'm sorry. When does just being a jackass on the internet mean you're constantly trolling? Don't give these people that much credit. Trolling is hard. Trolling takes effort. Trolling is an art. This is stupid.
Yeah, I give you that.
A U.S. Marine veteran is suing the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet to reauthorize his custom license plate with the letters INFDL. Sean DeWaters, who served in Iraq and adopted the nickname Infidel as a badge of honor and even tattooed it on his right forearm. He had utilized the vanity plate since 2007 until transportation officials suspended the plate on the grounds that it contravened stipulations stating that personalized plates cannot promote a specific faith, religion, or anti-religion and cannot represent a political belief. DeWaters' lawyers argue that the revocation is a violation of their client's First and 14th Amendment rights. The suit comes 2 weeks after another Kentucky resident won the right to personalize his car plates with the phrase, "I'm God."
So
this is continuing on from my last episode with the "I'm God" guy and
right.
and all that. So I've never been a big fan of the like this infidel as a word, using the word
right
as a term of endearment.
Yeah, or, and then also. Infidel, a lot of Christians use the term infidel because it's they see themselves as infidels in the eyes of Muslims. So
right.
We're probably not talking about an atheist.
No, we're definitely not.
Or most agnostic. Not. We're probably talking about a Christian that wants to be offensive directly to Muslims.
Yeah. Like it. And I was never a big fan of it when atheists use the terms because I don't know.
It's silly.
It's really silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I see in my particular area of the world, people riding the ferry with infidel shirts all over the place. They got patches on their backpacks. Mm. They got tattoos, just like this guy.
Yeah.
And they're not my favorite people necessarily.
Offending for the purposes to just offend.
Yeah.
You know, without any greater purpose. You know, that's also not trolling.
No.
I just like to make that clear. Also not trolling. Just being a jerk.
Just being a jerk.
Yeah. But yeah, and it's always the people wearing the infidel shirts now are generally tend to be theocrats and dominionists who don't really understand what the term infidel actually means.
That's the funny part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, hey, you don't believe in a God? No, I believe strongly in it. Why are you wearing that shirt?
Yeah.
You know, what's going on there?
But that being said, though, I mean, it's still, I don't think that the state of Kentucky should ban the use of the license plate.
No.
Well, with the "I am God" being okay, why is infidel not okay?
This is gonna be open and shut. Like
yeah.
This guy filed it because the "I am God"
right.
guy won.
I don't really see the problem with it in the first place.
He's had it since 2007, so I mean,
right.
What has he caused it?
12 years later.
Yeah.
Did they change up the rules, or do they just notice that it means something bad? And like, who do they get to that? Would that be a fun job or not? Being the guy who has to, or the DMV employee who has to read all the license plates, and you spend all your time messing it up and trying to figure out if this license plate means something good or bad, or like, would that?
That'd be a terrible job.
That's a job that requires a very particular set of skills.
Yeah,
and then also you'd have to be against tofu.
Right.
Well, I love tofu.
I love tofu.
Speaking of tofu and other things tactical, we have a voicemail from Jonathan here in Utah. How you doing? Here we go.
Jonathan Ariola, your tactical sales merchandise specialist with a short list of tactical items that are useless. Number one, okay, tactical gloves. Wait, did I say gloves? I meant mittens, tactical mittens, because that's got to be useful. Tactical windshield wipers, because nothing says aggressive like things that go foot-flap back and forth. Tactical road signs, which technically is just a road sign, but, you know, bulletproof for reasons. Tactical water bottles, because you need water. I mean, there's a reason for that as well. Tactical fruit of any kind. You've got your apples, of course, your kumquats also, pineapples, because you put it on a pizza, and no one wants to eat it. So that's a win. That's useful, right? I had a longer list. I really did. but I will spare you.
I've never had one, but I love
anyway,
the word kumquat.
Oh,
I love the word kumquat.
They're interesting.
Yeah.
What do they taste like?
I think last week, a couple weeks ago, I described them as the opposite of an orange.
Oh, that's right. We didn't have this collection.
Yeah.
Right.
They're like little oval oranges, right?
They're little oval oranges, and you eat them whole.
Yeah.
Bitter on the inside and sweet on the outside?
Sour on the inside. Well, bitter, sour on the inside.
Yeah, I gotcha.
They're interesting. They're not bad. But I really want to complain about his dislike of pineapple on pizza.
I was gonna. Yeah, I have some thoughts on that.
Yeah,
people have their pineapple on pizza. Yeah. Don't eat it if you don't have to.
It's fine.
Well, it's one of those things that's safe to fight about. I mean, that's true. The thing. It's how to pronounce Jif. What goes on pizza? The fact that these, you know, what keyboard button you press to pay respects? The fact that we have these arguments instead of, say, religious wars over things like gods and Marvel characters. but I repeat myself. I think that's a sign of civilization progressing. We are now like I said, like early on in the show. We're not going to stop having religious and dogmatic arguments if religion ever goes away. We're just going to have them about something else.
As long as
pineapple on pizza.
Take away the killing motive, then it's fine to have these arguments.
Right, yeah.
It's the killing, like, people want to kill for their gods. Nobody really wants to kill for pineapple on pizza, I hope.
I'm pretty sure there's a whole South Park episode about that.
Is there?
Yeah.
Okay.
The agnostics versus the atheists in the future.
Okay. Oh, that's the Dawkins one. Yeah. Yes,
South
that was...
Park. It's always South Park, didn't it?
Yeah.
It's either them or the Simpsons. I talked about this on Left at the Valley, but I don't think I've ever talked about my specific... I have a very complex theology about pizza. I really do.
Being from Chicago.
Oh. Yeah. And we've referred to it a few times. And there's Chicago pizza.
Lasagna?
No. That's deep dish. I don't like deep dish. We don't eat that all the time in Chicago. If we did, we'd be much larger than we are.
Also, there'd be a cheese shortage.
Yeah, because it's like 20 pounds of cheese on one pizza. You can't have that all the time. It is a casserole. It's not a pizza. It's fine. It's good. But it's not my favorite pizza. The kind of pizza I get is sort of a Chicago cracker crust pizza.
Yes.
It's a very thin crust. It's cut into squares.
Oh,
it's all about the ingredients. It's greasy as heck. It is the canonical pizza. It is the pizza. That is, when I think pizza in my head, that's the pizza I'm thinking about. But that's pizza definition one. And I am very, very tactical and prejudiced if you put things like pineapples on a pizza like that. I have issues if you put pineapple on that kind of pizza. But I don't live in Chicago. I haven't lived in Chicago for most of my life now. I've now been outside of Chicago longer than I lived in Chicago at this point. You know, so I've had to adapt. And so there's pizza definition one, which is the Chicago pizza, and then there's pizza definition two, which is pizza everywhere else, which is fine. It's a different animal. It even tastes different. It's a wonderful thing. I love it. And pineapple on that kind of pizza is absolutely okay. Put whatever you want on it. Whatever. Put another pizza. Put small pizzas on your pizza. Put donuts on your pizza.
How is this not a thing?
I don't care.
Yeah, that could be done.
Put whatever you like on it. It's pizza. Pizza definition two isn't a specific dish. It's a delivery protocol.
Yeah, it's a food delivery device. I worked pizza for like 8 years.
Yeah.
So when we got bored, we'd make all kinds of monstrosities in the oven because we could.
Yeah.
We made a pizza that was like 3 feet wide.
Right.
We made ramen in the oven. It can be done. Breakfast pizzas.
Cold pizza.
All the combinations.
So good.
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
I mean, in the 7-layer OSI model, Chicago pizza, that's like an application layer because it defines the whole protocol and what's actually happening on the network.
So that's layer 7.
Yeah. Outside, it's more like layer 3. It's pizza, like American pizza is just a delivery method. It's a signaling protocol. It's layer 3. And that's how I feel about it. And it gets me in real trouble because in my head, of course I go real pizza, other pizza, you know, and so I'm trying to shift my thinking about it to pizza definition one and pizza definition two. So I don't make a jerk out of myself at the pizza place up in Ashford when I get the pizza, when I get the pizza with pineapple sauce and pineapple sauce. Or sorry, barbecue sauce, chicken and pineapple on it. And Sharon's like, you get pineapple on pizza? And I go, eh, it's not real pizza. It's okay.
So,
and the checkout and the cashier is right there. And I'm like, I just put my foot in it. I'm so sorry. I just called your pizza, not pizza. This pizza is delicious. I'm getting it. And she's like, It's fine. It's okay. And I go, well, I'm from Chicago. Yeah. Okay. So you have a reason to be a jerk. Got it. So in my head, I'm trying to change it from real pizza and fake pizza to pizza definition one and pizza definition two, because they're all real.
Is there a place around here that you could possibly get something that you would find in Chicago?
There used to be. There's a place called Chicago Pizza up in Kent, but they have like chicken tandoori pizza and stuff like Ooh. That. It's not Chicago pizza. It sounds delicious. I really want to try it. Yeah. But it's not Chicago's. It's not the cracker crust pizza.
Okay. So just go to Papa Murphy's and get a thin crust and call it good.
Yeah, I think I might have to do like a tactical exchange of foods with my dad.
He'd have to bring it on the flight and
yeah. Like, it's like, cuz I mean, hot dogs I get out here. Hot dogs are fine. I don't need those. But he there's no Jack in the Box in Chicago.
What?
Yeah. And he, for some reason, Weird. Loves Jack in the Box tacos. Like, I didn't know Jack in the Box was a thing until people died of it.
Yeah, there's no Jack in the Box.
That was the first time I had heard of Jack in the
Box. Is it a West Coast thing?
It seems to be.
It got shut down. It used to actually span all the country, but on the East Coast, I think they closed all of them down, or at least in the Maryland area. So, and I think it's almost kind of like the same thing that happened to, like, Hardee's.
Which, right.
Like, and Carl's Jr., like, they had to do a name change in order. So, I don't know. It like they got bad press in some places and then became non-profitable and just had to pull out of entire regions.
They've been basically one of my favorite fast food restaurants since just after the E. coli scandal.
The what?
Back in the 90s, there was a big E. coli issue with...
Oh, right. Yeah. Sorry, I heard coal eyes.
Oh, no, not coal eyes. That's,
E. coli,
that's,
got it.
That's for Christmas.
Yikes. Yeah, the E. coli thing was the first I had heard of Jack in the Box, and I'm like, yeah, who would eat it? Like in my feeling, who would eat a place called Jack in the Box? That's creepy. And
well, you've seen the commercials, right?
Yeah. And my dad's like, I would eat at Jack in the Box all the time. It makes sense that they were national and they're not national anymore, because my dad, as a rule, doesn't leave Illinois. The only way he's actually coming to visit in January, and I'm absolutely shocked. I'm super excited about it, but I thought the only way I'd get him to visit me is I physically moved Illinois next to Washington, that maybe he'd visit then.
What's he afraid of, the weather?
No, he just likes it there. I don't know. He just likes being in Chicago.
Yeah.
He's the way I describe, what it's like is he's very from where he's from. He's right. Very much of that place.
I can't. I have my only experience with Chicago is the airport. So that's all I've got.
You've seen it.
Yeah.
If you've been to the airport, you've been to Chicago. that's pretty much, you can't tell.
Is there a pizza place in the airport that actually has Chicago pizza? Because if not, then it's...
It was a layover. I didn't have time to eat.
I don't know. Yeah, I try to get out of the airport as quickly as possible when I'm there. But not in Midway, but they changed up Midway quite a lot. So
it's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge airport.
Yeah, and then it's the Midway used to be so weird because it's like huge airport, and then there's a street, and then there's some guy's house right there.
That house has got garbage to live in, just all the noise.
That's the guy that didn't want to sell for the parking lot.
So, okay. The winter solstice party is fun. You get to see a lot of people. Usually, you know, people will complain at me about something I said on the show. So sometimes I cook to get away from that. And
oh yeah, you got a fan there that shows up every year.
Yeah,
every year he comes and
well, he's
something too.
He's fun. So, I like.
Yeah,
him.
He's
yeah.
pretty. He's good people.
Yeah, he's super cool.
He's got a list every time though. It's pretty.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah.
He has a list of all your failings.
Yes. Yes, it's the airing of grievances. So like one solstice party. Couple years ago, it was 2016, so it was right after the election, and we just started talking about politics, and somebody came up to me and was like, so you started talking about politics on the show? Like, yeah. I'm a little bit worried about it because like I'm very much, you know, I've always wanted to stay focused on atheism and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, I don't want to hear, I don't, you know, I'd be much less interested in hearing about your libertarian philosophies. And I'm like, I'm a libertarian? It's like, well, yeah, you talk about it a lot on the show. We just sort of assume it's like, no, I'm the opposite of that. I'm very much not that. I just think they, you know, they were, at the time, they were a group that I thought should be represented in the atheism community that nobody talks about. They exist. We need to mention that they exist.
I never have any trouble with them representing themselves, any of my groups over in Kitsap.
No, I suppose that would be less of a problem there.
Yeah.
But, and that was definitely the case when I would run into atheists in Arizona. A lot of them were libertarians. So.
The problem is they never show up to actual meetups. They just talk on Facebook.
Well, that's how that works.
Yeah. Like, I'd like to meet you in real life. Maybe we could have a real conversation.
Yeah.
Or just some beer. That'd be fine too.
Yeah.
But no.
Marine researchers in Australia are reporting that underwater loudspeakers playing sounds of healthy coral reefs has successfully lured diverse fish species back to degraded habitats in the Great Barrier Reef. Twice as many fish flocked to dead coral patches that were soaked in sound compared to parts of dead reefs that did not enjoy the sea serenade. Researchers explain that juvenile fish hone in on sounds that include snapping of shrimp and fish grunts, and while they acknowledge that fish alone cannot save dying reefs or resurrect dead ones, degraded reefs are more likely to recover if they have a robust and diverse fish populations.
This kind of strikes me as the same idea of a failing bar trying to throw on a ladies' night to attract people to the bar.
I didn't even know fish grunted. What does it sound like?
I don't know why the phrase fish grunts is affecting, but it's the most... I don't know. And in my head, this story is mixing with the sunning of the perineum. So you've got like yoga, you got like new age yoga people putting like their butts in the air to get sun and then listening to fish grunts. I don't know.
So our next next project is going to be a podcast that includes fish grunting that you can listen to while you tan your anal area.
What does a fish grunt sound like?
I was just going to ask. What does a fish grunt sound like?
It's kind of weird. Like, you got the snapping of turtles or something like that.
Yeah.
And then so like turtles eat fish, right?
They eat a variety of things. Depends on the turtle species.
The thing is, there's more story. Yeah. I couldn't even finish.
This works. So the rate of bleaching events, which kill off coral and drive away associated animal life, has also accelerated rapidly since the 1980s.
Yes, thank you.
All right, so I had to finish it.
You know, I think I've actually heard a fish grunt before.
Really?
You know, I used to have an Oscar, and whenever I fed him, or I don't know what sex it was particular, but whenever I fed it, it would grunt and grind its teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know the sea is incredibly noisy. And it just, the sea seems quiet to us because our ears aren't adapted for hearing underwater quite the same way. I get that. Do fish grunt when they make prank phone calls?
Prank phone calls require either the ability to use your hands or,
what I'm getting, like,
hands-free devices.
What I'm getting from this, they grunt when they eat, according to your example, so that means that they're probably getting plentiful food and making grunting noises, and so that way it's like, hey, I hear
there's
a smorgasbord over
here. Food over there.
Yeah.
So now this is going to change my tactics for fishing. I might actually be able to catch something now because I'm going to put a speaker in the water as opposed to a light, which I think is illegal.
Well, the light's illegal?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know. Okay.
I've heard it was illegal. I haven't really looked it up, but I don't really know. But a speaker obviously is not illegal, so fish grunting, fishing,
yeah,
let's do it.
There is sort of a sadness involved with this. Is here? Let's pretend that the Great Barrier Reef is still a thing. Let's play.
let's play music that makes the fish think that this is actually a thing that works.
This is a wrestling match where you have to pipe in cheering crowds because nobody likes the wrestler. It's just kind of, you know. Can you imagine this you know, like if you have like asthma or emphysema or something like that, and well, you can't breathe, you're intubated or whatever, so we're going to pipe in the sounds of normal breathing to make you feel better. Oh, yes.
Didn't they do this for Trump on WWE once?
They did. Well, I mean, that's like piping in sounds is something that a lot of like is something that can happen. It happens in professional wrestling. It happens in other places. And they tried to mute out the booing crowds when he was inducted to the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
And it did not work at all. And this is before, this was would not when he was running for president. This was 2013. So people have been booing that guy for a long time. You think he would be less surprised at a baseball game, but here you are.
Well, they didn't boo him there.
Oh, they did?
No, they did. The news on his side was adulating crowd cheers the president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bleaching, yeah. So, I mean...
It's bad.
It's bad, and it can also happen if you're sunning your parents while listening to Fish just, Grunts.
If you go over 30 seconds.
Yeah, that, you don't want to go over 30 seconds. Bad things happen when you do that. Bad things. Very bad.
But yeah, so I mean, coral reefs are in trouble, and it's climate change is definitely affecting the way. And the thing is, the coral reefs are massively important for life in the ocean. And if we lose our coral reefs, we lose massive populations of fish that we actually depend upon.
Yeah,
and the entire ecosystem is on the verge of collapse.
It's one of those things. We're talking like the Jenga tower of ecology. Yeah. You start removing stuff and then eventually there's going to be a collapse.
And this isn't a permanent fix by any means. Hopefully, no. Like it's able to, like by attracting more fish to the areas, and it is actually able to keep the coral reefs alive.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be enough to do it as a permanent basis.
I might pump this one to Dan. See what he's...
Yeah.
Because I remember hearing that like coral reefs might bounce back from like certain levels of climate change. They will just be less... the biomass is still there, but it's a lot less diverse, which means it's more likely to be hit by bad things.
Or it could also be a dead cat bounce.
Dead cat bounce?
It's a kind of a thing that happens in the market. Basically, like a stock crashes, but then also like it recovers, and then it looks like it's actually still alive, but then it just...
It's the effect of stock is going down. It might be a valuable stock, so while it's this low, I'm going to buy. So it's a little bit of a bump, and then
it goes down more, and you lose everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know some people that did Bitcoin that way.
This is...
Oh, it's tanked now. Buy. Oh, no, I've lost it.
Speaking of Bitcoin, there's no good news about Bitcoin.
I haven't heard anything about Bitcoin in a while, so I assume it's finally cratered. But
all my friends that all wouldn't stop talking about Bitcoin, I don't hear a word about it anymore.
Okay.
I
still see some people posting about it occasionally.
What's going on in the Bitcoin
I don't know. I don't pay attention.
The last 10 stories have been about basically massive fraud.
Yeah, that's
especially
a big
since
problem.
That's what it's for.
Yeah. That $19,000 price for a coin, essentially was done by one person.
Really?
One person was able to rig the way that Bitcoin was being traded to get it that high.
Okay, so there are existential flaws to the
one
whole.
Person or one entity.
Are you
saying
that the currency that was made so it couldn't be regulated might have some regulatory issues?
Just maybe a little bit.
Surprise!
What?
And libertarians are going to love us more.
Hear your fish grunts! I can't get over it. I'm sorry. I think I'm going to call it here. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Not a problem.
All right, this is Ask an Atheist. Our website is atheist.radio, or you can email us at questions@atheist.radio. Our phone number is 844-753-7842. Sorry, I'm off my game. You can Twitter us at Ask an Atheist WA. See you guys next week.